Today's daf is Kufiyud. We ended yesterday on that positive note of the wife of On Ben Pelet, who basically convinced her husband to do tshuva. Today we're going to talk about the women who convinced their husbands not to do tshuva, okay? And we're going to show that what's interesting about it is that we're going to show that the wife of Korach is the one who motivated him to do what he did. And what it's showing here is that the women are the ones operating behind the scenes, right? The men. The ones at the front are the men, but really what's going on are the women behind. Okay, so we are at the top of Kufiyud Amud Aleph, second line. Itate de Korach Amrele. So the wife of Korach said to him, Chaze Maika Aviv Moshe, you have a malka, lachu shavinu kana rabba. And then she says, look what Moshe is doing. He made himself the king. His brother, he made the Kohen Gadol, Kana Rabba. Livnei Achoi, his nephew, Shavinu Skanei de Kohane. They became the Skanim, right? The second in command to the Kohanim, basically working with the Kohen Gadol. I'at Truma, right? If you have Truma, who do they bring it to? Amar, to have the Kohen, right? I'atu maaser, deshaklitu atun. If you bring maaser and the people bring maaser, who does it go to? The Levi. Korach was from Shevet Levi, but what happens? What do we say when you get maaser? The Levi has to bring truma maaser. So even when we get our maaser, he says, Amar habu chad me'asara lekohen. Right, we have to give 1/10 to the Kohen. Which, by the way, it's interesting that the trumat maaser is 1/10. Regular truma is less than 1/10. Right? Regular truma is, if it's ayin benonit, let's say, it's 1 out of 50. But when the Leviim get the maaser, they have to give 1/10 of it to the Kohen. So he's saying, look at that. You know, they're making us always give everything to the Kohen. Clearly playing favorites here.
The timing is interesting because, of course, this hadn't started yet. They weren't in the land. This is in the desert. They weren't growing anything.
It's true.
There can't have been any truma.
Yes, that's true.
But this is a theoretical.
The whole argument is theoretical. I mean, the whole, you know. I mean, obviously, the Gemara's version of it, right? What's the Gemara doing? They're bringing in, you know, from, of course, in their life, they're not really doing truma either. They're not living in Israel. But, you know, that's the, also this could be an early midrash. We don't know where this midrash came from. But the midrashim always speak in their terminology.
I'm just interested in the assumption that women know enough to know what theoretically should be happening, even though it hasn't even started and there's no history of it.
Because this isn't what his wife is really saying. That's the point. The point is, no, but it's very important to explain. The rabbis, when they write these midrashim, right, the author of this midrash,
they're just imposing.
They always do that. They're superimposing what they know from their life, and they're putting it, you know, on what happened earlier. This goes on all the time. Right, guys le'lamazayichu means that he made them cut their hair. This was something all the Levim had to do. They all had to cut their hair when they designated the Levim for the Avoda. They all had to cut their hair. Like, they had to shave all the hair, not just haircut. They had to shave all the hair of their heads. How does this work? Umitala l'chu be'kufta. And he treats us as if we're just like a piece of dung. Okay. Eina yahev b'mazaychu. Clearly, what does he want? He wants to have your hair. In other words, he wants you not to look as nice as he does. Okay, he's saying, why did he make you guys shave all your hair? To make you look ugly. In other words, they're saying, it's interesting, there's this checkus where they all shave their hair. And what he's saying is, this is like a way of totally humiliating, or what she's saying, the wife of Korach, this is a way of totally humiliating the Levium by making them shave their hair, right? When you read it in the text, so they shave their hair, the Mitzvah shave, like there's all sorts of people who shave, the Nazir shaves his hair, all sorts of shavings going on. But here they say basically, you know, it's a huge embarrassment, which could be, you know, it's possible it's an embarrassing thing, but it doesn't make sense. The Torah would set them up for embarrassment, so it doesn't really make sense here. But she says it's a huge embarrassment, and it must be that he wants, Yav Eini B'mazaychu, he wants to basically make himself look greater than you by making you shave off all your hair. Now, there's a bit of a problem with this. We'll get to it in a minute. Amar La, he says to her, what do you mean? Ha'iunami Ka'avid. Here's so interesting. Korach even argues with her. He says, what do you mean? He also had to shave off his hair. He was also a Levi. So I don't know what you're talking about. Why would you say that? That, you know, why would you say he's making us look bad and him look better? Amrale, so she answers him back, Kevan de kula ributa dide, Amar iunami tamut nafshi in plishtim. Here, okay, if you want to say, really, what do you mean she know? What does she know from Truma? What does she know if she's quoting from Shimshon, who obviously didn't even, wasn't alive yet, but what does Shimshon say? Tamut nafshi in plishtim, I'm happy to even die with the plishtim, you know, let's punish them and I'll be even punished with them. So what Moshe is saying is I want to humiliate them and I don't even care to be humiliated with them because he knows that anyway he's still going to come out looking better than them. So even if he shaves off all his hair, the fact he's making them look bad won't make him look bad in the same light.
What would be the incentive to make Korach look like a good guy? I mean, it seems like Gemara is working hard to...
Yafeh. So why is... Okay, so let's hold off on your question. Let's get back to it after. Why is Korach meant to look good here? Why is he arguing with his wife and trying to give her a reason? I'm going to come back to it. Va'od ka'amar lechu, avditu tchelta, isakadata tchelta chashiva mitzvah, afike glima tchelta, v'chasinu lekula mitivtach. Moshe says about the tchelet, right, that you should, Moshe taught that you should put one tzitzit of tchelet in, right, a p'til tchelet. But why shouldn't, if tchelet is more respectful, then you guys should be wearing, you should fill your entire yeshiva with people wearing clothes that are kulo tchelet. Okay, if that's really the way to look respectful, again, she's saying he's obviously trying to make you look not so great. Haynu dechtiv, chochmat nashim banta beta, zo ishto shel om ben pelet, vi velet biyadat har sena, zo ishto shel korach. Okay, where's the, right, this is a pasuk from Mishlei, that the Chochmah of Nashim banta bayit, so that's Om Ben Pelet, she basically created the house, right, she helped him from not joining Korach's family, v'yivelet biyadeha, but if she's a bad woman, that's going to tahar sena, that's going to destroy your house, and that's what she did with Korach. Okay, I'm still holding off on your question, I want to come back to it toward the end. V'yakumu lefnei Moshe v'anashimi b'nei Yisrael chamishim u'matayim. Okay, there's 250 people, miyuchadim sheba eda. Okay, they say they were imported people. Okay, they were, it says, nisiei eda kriei moed anshei shem. That's what the pasuk says. So they said they were miyuchadim sheba eda. Kriei moed, okay, that's, they're darshaning, I guess, the word nisiei eda, because now they go to the next two words. Kriei moed, shayu yodim la'aber shanim ulegbo chodashim. Okay, kriei moed, they called the moed. What does it mean to call the moed? You decide when the how the calendar is going to work. And Sheshem, Shayalam Shem b'chol ha'olam. Here's an interesting one. In all of the world, they had a name. Some people say it doesn't mean they had a name in all of the world. It's a little weird to think that, right? Word didn't travel so much in those days. But it could be, it means b'chol, some people say. It doesn't say b'chol ha'olam, but they knew everything. In other words, they were smart. They were talmid yechamim. They had other kind of knowledge. You know, they were knowledgeable people. Vayishma Moshe vayupol apanav. So now it says, right, Moshe hears this and he's nofel apanav. Mashmu Hashama, what did he hear? Amar b'shmol bar Nachmani, Amar b'yonatan, shechashduhu me'eshet ish. He heard that they were suspecting him of eshet ish. Where does this come up? How do we see this? This is going to be a drasha. Shene'emar, vayikan'u l'moshe b'machaneh. They were jealous of Moshe b'machaneh. What's the lashon here? Kin'ah, like the Baal Shekinei b'ishto and the Sota. Remember, if he suspects his wife, right, he's jealous of his wife and he suspects her. They were suspectful of they suspected Moshe b'machaneh. Okay, that's part of the psukim. This is in Tehilim Kufav, which is the Tehilim that goes through a rendition of what went on in a historical account. And in that, when it talks about the Korach story, it says, Vayikan'u l'moshe b'machaneh l'aharon kadosh Hashem. So they say, what is machaneh? Machaneh always means, right, in your camp, in your ohel, and your with your wife. So they were jealous of Moshe, meaning they were suspectful that they were suspecting him that he was with their wives. Amar b'shmo bar Yitzchak, melamed kol chavachad kinei et ishto mi Moshe. Okay, what does that mean? What does it mean, lekanei et ishto? After you suspect that your wife is with someone, so you say in front of witnesses, if you go alone in a room with this man, then I'll be, and I have witnesses about, you know, if you go with witnesses in this room and they see, then I can bring you to the Beit HaMikdash and accuse you of being a sota. So everybody warned their wives from Moshe. How do we know this? Again, we got to find some pasuk that gives some reference to this. Shenemar, and it's a very strange use of a pasuk. Okay, this is by the Chet HaEgel. Right after Chet HaEgel, it says, U'moshe yikach et ha'ohel, v'natalo michutz l'machane. Okay, so they say here, right, he took his oil, v'natalo michutz l'machane. So they say that shows that he had to show that he wasn't doing anything, and he took his michutz l'machane so that they wouldn't suspect him anymore. In other words, he went outside the machane so they wouldn't suspect that he was going to be in the machane with their wives. What's strange about the usage of this pasuk? Because it says in the continuation of the pasuk, herchek min machane v'kara lo ohel moed v'yakom v'kesh Hashem yetzei al ohel moed Hashem michutz l'machane. It's not talking about his own personal ohel, it's talking about ohel moed. But anyway, it's an interesting use of that pasuk. But they wanted to connect v'yikan'u l'moshe b'machane, and there he goes michutz l'machane. You understand? They were connecting these two pasukim about in the machane, and then he takes himself outside the machane so that they wouldn't suspect him. So now we go back and say vayipol panav. Part of adat Korach, it wasn't just that they were saying why, who made you great, but now they started going even farther and they started suspecting him of sleeping with their wives. Vayakam Moshe vayelech al Datan va'aviram. Amar Ish Lakish, what do we learn from the fact that Moshe calls Datan and Aviram and they don't come? I don't know if you remember this in the story. And then he actually goes to them. Now that's a bit of a busha for Moshe, right? It's not kavod for Moshe to go chasing Datan v'Aviram. So Amar Ish Lakish, mikan she'em machzikim b'machloket. Okay, this is from here you learn that you should try to resolve machlokot. Da'amarav, kol machzik b'machloket, over belav. Shenemar v'lo yeh kekorach v'cha'adato. This is an interesting one. Rav says, it's actually a mitzvah lo ta'aseh. V'lo yeh kekorach v'cha'adato, meaning you shouldn't, right, create machloket, you should try to resolve machloket. Interestingly enough, the Ramban counts this in his 613 mitzvot, and the Rambam doesn't. It's one of the disagreements between the Rambam and the Ramban. It's a very good, it's a very interesting one about, you wouldn't really think this was a mitzvah aseh, but it's a good one. Rav Ashi amar ra'oi lehitzterea k'tiv hacha biyad Moshe lo uk'tiv hatam vayomer Hashem lo od havena yitcha b'chikecha. Okay, so they're saying he was ra'oi lehitzterea, right? This is assume Datan v'Aviram they're referring to. What? One second, ra'oi lehitzterea. Why was he ra'oi lehitzterea? One second. The pasuk they bring, right, is by Paro, what he's supposed to do, but
such a person who doesn't resolve
the machlok. I see, that's what it is. Okay, I was trying to figure out who it was referring to. Right, thank you. So the someone who is machzik b'machloket should get tzarat. Okay, that's one of the that's the punishment he should get according to Rav Ashi. Because it says there biyad Moshe, and then it says v'ena yadcha b'chekecha. So they're connected between the yad and the yad, and there, you know, Moshe, Hashem told Moshe, put your hand right and put your hand in, and then it'll turn tzarat. It's one of the simanim he brought to the otot. He showed to Paro. Amar Rabbi Yossi, kol acholek al malchut Beit David ra'oi lachishon nachash. Okay, anyone who goes against the malchut Beit David should be bitten by a snake. Okay, why? Okay, what does this have to do with anything? Any ideas? Because going against authority. Okay, someone who God chose is the authority, right? Malchut Beit David was who God chose. Moshe was who God chose. And anybody who questions that is ra'oi that a snake should bite him. How do we know this? What?
For mitab yidei shamayim.
Ah, yafeh. So, right, we've seen this before, that a biting of an achash is like a mitab yidei shamayim. K'tiv hacha v'yizbach Adoniyahu tzonu bakar muri. And here's a weird thing. So what was he sacrificing? Remember, Adoniah was trying to rebel against David and not let Shlomo be the king, but he wanted to be the king. It says, Son b'char im even hazochelet. Okay, what's this even hazochelet? So they show this a reference. Uktiv hatam im chamat zochale afar, which means with the eres, the poison from the snakes who go on the ground. Okay, This is part of the curses in Devarim that are going to come upon the people, or some bad that's going to happen. Mizei ravu luchumei reshef v'ketem miriri v'shem behemor shalachbam. The animals are going to eat you. Im chamatzo chaleafar. Okay, with the snakes. Amar Rav Chisda, kol acholek al rabo kecholek al ashchina. Now we're going to learn all sorts of things. If you go against your rabbi, it's like going against the shchina. Shneamar batzotam al Hashem. Because here it says, right, they were really going against Moshe, but it also says they were killed because they also went against Hashem. Amar Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina, kol ha'osem miriva im rabo, ke'osem ashchina, anyone who makes a fight with his rabbi, right? We're going to have different wording of this. Kolacholeka rabo, if you make a fight with your rav, it's like the Shechina Shenemar, Hema Memri Vashe Ravu B'nei Yisrael et Hashem. Now remember, who did they complain about with the water? They complained to Moshe. They didn't complain to Hashem, but it was as if they complained to Hashem. Ami Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, Kola Mitra'em al Rabo. Okay, we're basically using different lishonot. Okay, we have someone who disagrees with his rabbi, someone who makes a fight with his rabbi, somebody who complains to his about his rabbi, Ki'ilu Mitra'em al Hashchina, Shne'amar, Lo Aleinu Tlunotechem, right, this is again the people complaining in the desert, Ki al Hashem, right, your Tlunot are really al Hashem, not on me. So here I think they're just trying to take different sharashim that are used in the Torah and take them and say, oh, look, here it's fighting with Hashem, here it's disagreeing with Hashem, here it's complaining. Amar Rabbi Avau, kolam behar heracha rabo, ki'ilu mar heracha shechina, someone who has bad thoughts about his rabbi, although we're going to see it's a little more than just bad thoughts, is like his mar heracha shechina, shenemar v'idabera am belohim uvim Moshe. Okay, this is by... Right, this is also with the Tlunot, okay? This is in the desert, when they said, with the man, okay? This is before they got the man, it says, Ma lo alenu tlunotchem ki al Hashem, okay? Amar Rish Lakish, no, I skipped a line, okay. Osher shamor leba'alav lerato, okay? Wealth is found leba'alav, okay, but it's bad for him. If you're too wealthy, it sometimes causes bad. Amar Rish Lakish, Ze Oshro Shel Korach. Okay, Korach was very wealthy. Vet Kol Yikum Asher Beraglehem. Okay, what does it mean, right? All, remember, the got swallowed up, not just them, but also, right, it says, Vashel Asad L'datam V'aviram B'nei Eliyah Ben Reuven Asher Patzar, it's at Pia. This is a description in Dvarim of what happened. Vativ Le'em V'et Batehem V'et O'alehem V'et Kol HaYikum Asher Beraglehem. What does it mean, Kol HaYikum Asher Beraglehem? So Amar Rabbi Lazar, Zem Mamono Shel Adam. Why is Yikum Mamono Shel Adam? Because Mamono Shel Adam is Ma'amido Araglav. It's interesting. The Mamon of Adam keeps him standing, right? We survive by having money. So therefore, Kol Yikum must mean that they lost all their money. Their money was swallowed up with them. Now we're going to talk about how wealthy Korach was. V'Amar Rabbi Levi, Masoy Shlosh Meot Pirdot, the burden of 300 mules, levanot, white mules, hayu maftechot shel beit ginzav, just the keys of all his storage places filled up, right? It was a burden for 300 mules. Beit ginzav shel korach, vikulu aglide vikilpe, and all these maftechot, like keys and locks, digilde, they were all made, I don't know how you have this, but they were all made of leather. You have a leather lock. In other words, if they were metal, so you could say, well, they were heavy, so it would be even less. They're trying to say it was made of a light material, so could you imagine 300 mules carrying all these keys? Obviously, this is an exaggeration. It's just trying to say he was so, so wealthy. Am Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina. Gimel matmoniot hitmin Yosef b'Mitzrayim. Okay, there were three treasures that Yosef hid in Mitzrayim. Now, why did Yosef have all these treasures? From when they stored up the stuff in those seven good years. So he stored up treasures. And we're now going to talk about the rich people in the world who took these. There were two people known to be very rich. One was Korach. Achan itgaltala Korach. Achan itgaltala Antoninus ben Asvirus. He was one of the Roman emperors, and he was known to be incredibly wealthy, or he was also known to have spent a lot of money on himself and his soldiers, etc. Okay, so it's interesting. The two went to bad people, and one went to, right, one is basically still hidden, and it's waiting for the tzadikim la'atid lavo. This connects very well with our perek about what the tzadikim are going to get in atid lavo. Why his money ended up going to these bad people is a good question, and what the image is to, you know, trying to be here. Maybe if they're saying Yosef shouldn't have hid all the stuff. You know, maybe he should have hid some stuff for tzadikim, but maybe shouldn't have hit it because look whose hands it got into and what he did with it.
It's like the Migdal Bavel, the third, the third, the third. It's like materialistic. Two are God and one remains. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
It's Yafeh. Like Yafeh. That's a nice image where the only one remained out of that whole thing, and also here one remained. I like that connection. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Korach, okay, going back to why would we make Korach look good? So I told you to wait off, Sasha. Now, here we get to according to Korach, Korach lomina bluim velomina strufim. He wasn't swallowed up and he wasn't burned. Lomina bluim dichtiv, Ve'et kol ha'adam asher le'korach, ve'lo korach. It's all the people that were with Korach, but not Korach himself. Ve'lo min ha'srufim, dechtiv ba'achol ha'eshet chamishim u'matayim ish. Okay, and he wasn't burned because it says it was the 250 people, meaning 250 people were killed. Those were the 250 people who joined Korach. It wasn't Korach himself, the low Korach. However, there's a dissenting opinion. But Manita Tana Korach mina srufin umina bluim mina bluim dichti bativlau tam beet Korach. It's hard to understand how the first opinion understood this pasuk because it does say they swallowed Korach. Mina srufim dichtiv ve'esh yatzah me'et Hashem v'tochal et chamishim u'matayim ish. Okay, that a fire came out and ate the chamishim u'matayim ish. And what does he say? V'korach bahadayu. Korach was part of the, when they said 250, they weren't counting exactly 250 plus Korach. No, he was included in the 250. Okay, so I want to stop for a minute and talk about, actually maybe we'll hold off another few minutes till we talk about his sons, but we're going to see the B'nai Korach lo metu. Okay, his sons didn't die. And maybe even when he says he wasn't swallowed up, even though it says he was swallowed up, what he means is his future wasn't swallowed up, right? That he might have died, but his descendants continued on, and maybe that's what he was trying to get at. I always thought about the story when you think about what happened. Why is it important? Maybe I'll stop here, even though we haven't gotten to the sons, but it says B'nai Korach lo metu, and we know a few things about B'nai Korach. First of all, there's a Tehillim that starts Shir Mizmor L'Bnei Korach. Right, I think they appear in a few Tehillim, actually, the B'nai Korach, which shows that they were good people. And that's contrasted to Datan and Aviram, whose sons did get swallowed up. Now, what's the difference between them in the whole story? So the difference really between them is Korach had a good legitimate reason for arguing. And Datan and Aviram just came along for the fight. And that's why I think the interchange between him and his wife was important, because it was showing that Korach was always thinking. Right? His sons, Datan and Aviram, weren't really thinking. They were just, there's fight, great, let's just join the fight. They weren't really thinking, what are we fighting about, and what does that have to do with us? It had absolutely nothing to do with them. It was between, right, Shevet Levi, right, it was the issues that were internal issues of Shevet Levi. So I always thought about that Datan and Aviram's sons died because, just like their fathers, they weren't thinkers. They just kind of joined the fight, and therefore they got swallowed up. But Korach, he was a thinker, and that's why that story also shows he was a thinker. His wife was challenging him to fight, and he said, wait a minute, is that really true? And Moshe also, in the end, he convinced based on logic, but his sons were smarter than him, and they were also trained by him, right? It shows how children are like their parents, and they were trained to think, and they eventually realized, wait a minute, this isn't a good argument, this isn't a good way to go, and they left the whole group, right? They weren't part of it. And because of that, they survived. Whereas Datan and Aviram, because they were just along for the fight and they weren't thinkers, so they kind of just ended up getting swallowed up also. So I think that might answer your question. That's the way I always viewed the story, that he was a thinker, and this midrash is capitalizing on that. Again, you can think and think the wrong way, but at least he was thinking. So therefore, he had a continuation because his sons trained them to think, and they thought, they were a little smarter than him.
But throughout history, those are the most dangerous leaders.
The ones who think well and know how to manipulate and
everyone else follows.
Right.
But they come
it's
up
true.
With
well, leaders. He did, again, assuming we follow the opinion that he got swallowed up. He did get swallowed up. And he certainly, even if he did get swallowed up, he certainly is done at that point. He loses, and he's put in his place. But it's not to say he didn't do anything wrong, but it's to show how his kids were smart enough to get out of it. Right. Okay, I'm a rabbi. Because I always thought it was interesting. Why do they tell us B'nai Korach lo metu? What's the point? Right. So I think they're trying to illustrate a point to tell us that there's a reason they didn't die. Okay, I'm a rabbi. My dichtiv, and it also teaches you about machloket. There's different reasons people enter machlokot. Right? This story wasn't just one big group of people. Everybody had different motivations going on.
Also, the more basic thing of the sons not getting killed is just that the sons don't necessarily get punished for the sins of the fathers, right?
Like it's true. However, Datan and Aviram's sons do get killed. Right. So that's the thing. In other words, some of the people they did and some of them didn't. And that's also fits in with that model of only if you go in the way of your father, then you get killed with your father. And if you differentiate yourself, then you don't.
And the contrast is also Aaron's sons.
Right, who also sin, you're saying. But that's a different type of sin. That's a whole different thing. Right?
Also out of passion.
Right, out of passion, right. Misguided passion, right?
But some of them.
Yeah.
Right, two did, two didn't.
Right.
Right, some did, some didn't. Okay, Amarava, my dichtiv shemesh yada shemesh yareach abad zvula l'orchi tzecha yahalechu. Okay, zvula, you have to remind me what that word means. I'm forgetting right now. Zvula, how do I translate?
It just says
ascended.
The firmament, right. Oh, right. The zvul is one of the seven layers. It's the fourth layer of the rakia. Right. There's the rakia. There's the heavens. There's seven layers of the heavens we've seen before. So zvulah is the fourth. Lo'or chitzecha yalechu. Right. They'll go according to your chitzim, at the light of your arrows. Melamed sha'alu shemesh v'yarech lizvul. They went up from the rakia, which is the bottom. They went up to zvul. They went closer to God. If you do judgment against Moshe, then we're one second for Moshe, right? Then we're gonna one second. Right. If you do bad to Ben Amram to Moshe, then Netze, then we're gonna leave from here. Vim lav lo netzei. And if not, we're going to... No, I guess it's saying... One second.
We'll go out and do the job.
Right, we'll go out and do the job. So if... Right. Oseh din is litovat Moshe. Okay. I was just not sure which way it works. Right. If you do din and you do good for Moshe, then we're going to go out and shine. Vim lav lo netzei. Okay, we're not going to shine. Ad shezarak behen chitzim. That's why it say lo'or chitzecha yahalechu. God had to shoot arrows at them to get them out. Amar lahem, he gets angry at them. Why is he so angry with them? I mean, here they're coming to support Moshe. Bichvodi lo machitem, bichvo basar v'adam machitem. You didn't go complain when anybody was going against my kavod. Only you're worried about Moshe's kavod. So what is he talking about? What is this midrash talking about? That every morning the machem Mizrachu Ma'arav go and bow down to the sun. And you don't complain about it and say, hey, we're not coming out this morning because look, they're all bowing down to the sun. And that's against my kavod. So why are you so worked up about Moshe's kavod? Va'ina, and after that happened, now lo nafke ad demachu lehu. So now either they claim, okay, there's two ways of reading this. They don't come out ever until God shoots arrows at them again to get them out. Or they're mochim on the avodah zarah. In other words, they don't come out until they complain about all the people worshiping the sun. Darish Rava, ma'idachti v'im bri'a yivra Hashem. Here there's a double lashon here. Im bria yivra Hashem. Okay, if God will create something new and the adama will open up and swallow it. Amar Moshe lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Im bria gehenom mutav. V'im lav. If gehenom is already created, then great. V'im lav yivra Hashem. So that's why it says the double lashon. It's saying if it's already created gehenom, then great. And swallow these guys up. Which makes it sound like this is the first occasion we're dealing with Gehenom, right? Moshe's not even sure if there is such a thing yet. And if not, he's kind of asking God to please create it. Lemai, ilema lemivre mamash, v'hayin en kol chadash tachad ha-shebesh. If he means to really create a yesh me'ayin, what do you mean? There is nothing new in this world based on Kohelet, right? Everything already is. Ela lekeruve pitcha means to make the opening come closer to where he was. The opening of Gehenom to come, you know, near where he was. Ubnei korach lo metu. Tanu mishum rabbeinu amru. So what happens? They say there was a place in Gehenom. It's like the way there's layers in the Rakia, there's layers in Gehenom. And they were near the top, at the top of the Gehenom, and they said Shira. And because of that, what Shira did they say? Shir, right. Shir is more of Nekorach. And therefore, they were saved. Amara Barbarchana, Zim Nechada Havaka Zilna Beorcha. Amar Liahutaya, one day I was walking on the path. We actually saw this source before in Bava Batra. I was walking on the path and some Yishmaeli guy comes over, an Arab guy, Ataya, comes and says, Tav Achvelach Belue de Korach. If you remember, there were all these stories there. This is just one of them. But where this Arab guy says, oh, you want me to show you this? You want me to show you that? I'll show you where this happened. I'll show you where that happened. So you want me to show you where the earth swallowed up Korach? He found this place where there were these two holes, the kanapa kitra minayu, that smoke was coming out of them. Shakil gevava da amra, he takes a ball of wool. Am shemaya, he soaks it in water, so that it's hard for a fire to get at it, right? V'otvei b'reish ramcha, sticks it on the end of his spear, imagine like a toothpick, you know, and sticking the cotton ball on it. V'ach lefei hatam, and he puts it right on top of where the holes are. ichrich, and it immediately gets singed from the heat, even though it was water-soaked. This sounds like Har HaKarmel, right, when they pour all the water and still the fire comes out. Amar le atzit, he says, now listen, mashamat, what do you hear now, he says to him. V'shamat avu amre hachi, he hears them saying this, Moshe b'torato emet, v'hein vada'im. He hears them saying, Moshe in his Torah emet, and we are, hein is referring to themselves, and we are vada'im, we're nobodies. You know, we're wrong. So Amar le, kol taltin yomin mahadra le gehenom kibasar betoch kalachat. Okay, what happens with meat in a pot? You're constantly mixing it up. So every 30 days, these guys get kind of mixed up like meat in a pot and moved around. Ba'amre hachi, and they say this, Moshe v'torato emet v'heim bada'im. So every 30 days, now this is what happened. The guy saw the smoke coming up. He knew it was the 30th day. It's every, you know, maybe it's even Rosh Chodesh, right? Every Rosh Chodesh, they kind of, in Gehenom, they get stirred up. And they, according to this, they're even, some of the Mefreshim understand that they're re-judged every 30 days. They come up for judgment. It's like a constant coming up for judgment, and every time now they admit that they were wrong. They saw their wrongdoing. Okay, a bit of a strange story. Okay, that's the end of Korach. Now we're getting to Dor HaMidbar, Ein Lam Chelek LaOlam Haba. So this is a more difficult one, because, again, they did kind of follow the Maraglim and lose hope, but it's not like they were as bad as some of the other groups of people. Tanu Rabbanan, Dor HaMidbar, Ein Lam Chelek LaOlam Haba, Shenehemar, Bamidbar Hazeh Yitamu, V'Sham Yamutu. So again, right, in this Midbar, they will be finished, and there they will die. So again, a double Lashon. This is in Bamidbar, you know, when right after the Chet HaMeraglim. Yitamu Ba'olam Hazeh, V'Sham Yamutu Ba'olam Haba. So again, they say, one is Olam Hazeh, one is Olam Haba. V'Amar, okay, apropos Shabbat, Asher Nishbati Ba'api, Im Yivu'una Menuchati. Right, Abim Shana Kupador V'Amaram Tu'e Levavhem, V'Him Lidu Drachai, Asher Nishbati Ba'api, Yivu'una Menuchati, the end of Lechun Ranana. Okay, about the Arba'im Shana, right, in the Midbar. So God's saying, I swore in my anger, that they will not come to their menucha. Okay, I don't know, we say these every week. I don't know if you ever pay attention to what the words mean. So now you'll understand the pasuk tonight. So God swore in his anger that they will not come to their resting place. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Ba'in hen la'olam haba. No, they actually come to Olam Haba. How do we know that? Shneemar isfuli chasidai kortei briti ale zevach. Okay, gather to me my chasidim, those who made a brit using zvachim. Now, who was that? That was in Shmot after Matan Torah. They did these zvachim. If you remember in Shmot Kaf Dalet at the end of Parashat Mishpatim, they do these zvachim, and then they it talks about the brit there. Okay, they're korei brit ale zevach. So that must be the Dor HaMidbar. And therefore, God calls them chasidai, right? My chasidim. Elamani mekayem. So if that's the case, what do we do with Asher Nishbati Ba'api? Nishbati v'chozra anibi. I swore my anger, right? Many times, what do we know? You get angry and then you change your mind. We saw this before, right? That there's some people who do bad things because out of anger and, you know, and then they're going to go back. So God said it, but he changed his mind about it. Rabbi Yoshua ben Korchomer, lo ne'amar pasuk zeh ela kenyege dorot haba'im. Sfuli chasidai, elu tzadikim shebechol dor vador. Kortei briti ale zevach, elu chananya, actually not the ale zevach, just kortei briti, elu chananya mishael vazarya, shamasru nafsham letoch kivshan ha'esh. Ale zevach, elu Rabbi Akiva v'chavirav, shemasru atzmam l'shchita al divrei Torah. So here he says the kortei briti and chasidai and all that are not the kortei briti ale zevach that you thought was the Dor HaMidbar. No, really, the Dor HaMidbar were bad. The chasidim are, number one, the chasidim are the tzaddikim in every generation. Kortei briti or Hananya Mishael Vazariah, they were willing to go in the kivshana esh, right? They were willing to not sacrifice to the Avodah Zarah. They were korei brit with God. And the alei zevach are those who sacrifice themselves al kiddush Hashem. And that's all, right, the asara v'gei machut. By the way, again, this I've mentioned this before, but the Asara Rugei Machut, right? It doesn't say Elo Asara Rugei Machut, because the Asara Rugei Machut is a Sifruti thing that the Paitan made up, you know, and he connected these 10 people and that didn't live in the same times, and then, you know, so Rabbi Kivan Chaverav is talking about a particular group, not necessarily what we call the Asara Rugei Machut. Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh Omer, Ba'in Hein La'olam Haba. So again, we go to another opinion that says they do get Olam Haba. Shenemar, Upduye Hashem Yeshuvun, Ubao Tzion Birina. Okay, they will go back and they will come to Tzion Birina. They will come to Tzion happily. Amar Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan. So now we're going to have a comment on Rabbi Akiva. Shavka Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva l'chassidute. Okay, Rabbi Akiva usually says, you know, looks at the good at people, and here he's the one saying they have no future hope. Shenemar haloch v'karata bozne Yerushalayim lemor zacharti l'chassin uraya chavat kelulotayach lechtech acharai b'midbar b'eretz lo zrua. Uma achirim ba'im b'zchutam hem atzmam lo kol shekein. Says, how could Rabbi Akiva have basically, you know, looked so poorly upon them when the pasuk says, right, I'm going to call on Banshei Yerushalayim to say, Zacharti lachesed yirayach, and that you're going to be ultimately saved because the Jews then in the Dor HaMidbar went after me in the Midbar, Be'eretz Lo Zeruah, right? They basically followed God, even though it was all this unknown. And because of that, Acherim Ba'im, they were going to come to Eretz Yisrael, Bizchutam. So how could we possibly say that Hem Atzmam Lo? Doesn't make any sense that we should get their zchuyot. So here you see a lot of contradictory psukim about the Dor HaMidbar. Sometimes they're viewed very negatively, sometimes they're viewed very positively. And I think the main one that makes it sits better with me is the whole, the word about that I did swear, but Chazrani be. In other words, yes, there were bad times and there were good times. In other words, that you can look at everything and you can see different perspectives of it. There were parts of the Midbar where they were following God, and there were aspects of their whole sojourn in the desert that was a real Mesirut Nefesh. And then there were other parts that were obviously, as we all know, the Dor HaMidbar was not the greatest of generations, and it's quite complicated. So there's a bit of a debate about how to read that.
But they also got their punishment.
Right, they did get punished, and maybe you could say they got punished in Olam HaZeh, not in Olam HaBa. And right, and that would be the view of saying, you know, just because people are bad, they still have good elements to them, and there's a lot of what's going on in this parak in general, even with Yeravam and all those guys who, you know, were Talmidei Chachamim according to the Torah, the Gemara, and, you know, and that they had redeeming features about them. But the question is, not always do we believe that those redeeming features or those redeeming factors are going to actually help them in Olam HaBa. It could be, you know, it's a matter of skills, how bad they were, and what, you know, and the Dor HaMidbar really, you know, they were the first generation after, you know, as a nation, and maybe, you know, those who say, look, they really messed up, and they might have had some redeeming qualities, and it might be nice they followed God, but, you know, they were also it was quite complicated there, especially after having seen Kriya Yam Suf and all that. It's hard to imagine.
Conversely, they had been slaves.
Yes, exactly, right. You can look at it in so many perspectives. They've been slaves, they have slave mentality, all sorts of ways of reading it, and that's why you can see they also struggled with it. Yeah, they say it very simply, but obviously there's a lot more depth here. Okay, new Mishnah. Aseret HaShvatim, Einam Atidin Lachzor. Whoa, this is a big one. The 10 tribes that were, you know, kicked out, Machu Yisrael, who we already bad-mouthed all the kings earlier in the parak, they're not going now. What the big debate is, what does it mean, lachzor? Lachzor, does it mean lachzor le'eretz Yisrael and yimot ha-mashiach? That they'll never come back to Israel? That's pretty severe, right? There's a lot of people who don't believe that nowadays, right? They're trying to bring back the B'nai Menashe and, right, people who they believe are the 10 tribes. Or some people say they won't come back in Tchiyat HaMeitim, okay, that they just won't be resuscitated. It doesn't mean that their tzatzaim won't come back. You understand? One is saying, for future generations, they're wiped out entirely. We'll never accept them back. And some people say, no. It just means the people of those generations aren't going to be brought back to life in Tchiyat HaMeitim. So there's a big debate about what this means. Shene'emar v'yashlichem el eretz acheret kayom hazeh. I'm going to send them to a different land like this day. What does it mean, like this day? Ma hayom holech ve'eno chozer. Just like you can never, right, Groundhog Day, right? You can never bring back a day. Right? You can't redo it. They're going to go and we'll never come back. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Kayom Azeh, Ma Yom Afilu Meir, Afaseret HaShvatim, Shafela Lehem, Kacha Dida La'ir Lehem. What do you mean? A day goes, but a new one comes. There's always a new day coming. So he views it exactly the opposite. This is like, is the glass half empty or half full, right? How do you look at it? Tana Rabbanan, Aseret HaShvatim, Ein Lehem Chedek Olam Haba, Shene'emar, Vayachem Hashem Me'al Admatam, Ba'afu Bechema Beketzef Gadol, So here again, we have, right, they're going to be removed from their land in Olam HaZeh, and they're going to be thrown into a different land in Olam HaBa. Devar Rabbi Akiva. Again, Rabbi Akiva has he's got the negative attitude, even though he's often the positive one, right? Where do we see the positive one? With the Shualim, right? And he says, look, this is great. It means the redemption will come. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ish kvar ako, Amir Mishum Rabbi Shimon, im ma'aseim kayom hazeh, einam chozrim, v'im lav chozrim. He says it like this. If they continue in their ma'aseim like today, then they will never come back. But if they change their ways, again, always leaving a door open for tshuva, then they can come back. Rebbe Omer, Ba'im Hem Lo Olam Haba. They come to Olam Haba. How do we know this? Shenemar. Bayom Ha'uita Kab Shofar Gadol, right? And Ubao Havdim Be'eretz Ashur Vanidachim Eretz Mitzrayim. That's this Eseret Shvatim. Amar Rav Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Shavka Rabbi Akiva L'chassidute. Again, we say, yeah, Rabbi Akiva, they comment on the fact that he left his optimistic attitude. Shneamar halach v'karata tadvarim ha'ela tzafona, v'amart shuva mishuva Yisrael nu Hashem, v'lo apil panai b'chem, ki chasid ani nu Hashem, lo atir la'olam. Okay, this is, second, this pasuk is saying, right, in other words, he should have read this pasuk, which shows things in a positive light, that we're going to, you know, you're going to say these things, Safona, and say, Shuva Meshuva Yisrael, right? The wild Yisrael is going to come back, Num Hashem. Lo apil panai b'chem, right? I won't be angry at you, ki chasin ani Num Hashem. Lo atur la'olam, right? I won't keep my anger at you forever. So we should have darshan that pasuk, so why didn't he? My chasidute, okay, what was his motivation for what he's, right, where do we, 1 second, right. Now we want to know, where's this chassidut of Rabbi Akiva that we generally see, that we don't see here? Because it says, K'tanei b'nei rishei Yisrael, ein ba'in l'olam haba. Okay, here's a different machloket, where we're going to see, dafka in this machloket, Rabbi Akiva has the positive attitude. And that's what we're going to say, Rabbi Yochanan is commenting, Rabbi Akiva left his attitude of here. Now we're going to talk about the young children of the Rishei Yisrael. Ein ba'in l'olam haba shenemar, ki yinei hayom babo er ketanur, v'haya kol zedim v'kol osei risha, kash, they'll all be like straw, v'lihet otam hayom haba amar Hashem tzvao. Right? What's going to happen? Destroy you light on fire, it's going to be destroyed instantly. Asher lo yazov lahem shoresh va'anach. They won't be left with any root or branch. Shoresh ba'olam hazeh, v'anach l'olam haba. Okay, basically, according to this, it means the Rishaim are going to lose Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. That's Divrei Rabban Gamliel. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ba'im Hem Lo Olam Haba. No, no, no. They will get Olam Haba. Here we see his Chassidute. Shneamar, Shomer Pta'im Hashem, Shekein Kore B'Karchei Hayam Liyinuka Patya. Okay, this is all a debate about the young ones of the Rishaim, the young children, what's going to happen to them. So according to Rabban Gamliel, just like their parents are wiped out, they're going to be wiped out also la'olam haba. Rabbi Akiva says, no. Shomer p'teim Hashem, and in the Karchei Hayam, they call Yanuka Patya. Patya, usually we say p'teim are foolish people, but here he says, no, it means young ones. So Shomer p'teim Hashem means God will protect the young ones, and they will actually make it into olam haba. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. But since we're here, we're going to continue along. V'omer, gudu ilana, this is the braita they were quoting. Gudu ilana v'chavlu'e, and here's another pasuk they're quoting, which means, gudu ilana v'chavlu'e is, right, chop the tree and destroy it. Okay, birami karsher sheu ba'aretz shuvku, but leave the roots in the ground. That's what he says, right? That proves that we're going to wipe out the rishaim, but we're going to leave their roots in the ground, their children. Mani makayem lo yazov behem shorish ba'anaf, but it says we're not going to leave any roots. So how do we explain that? Shelo yaniach lehem lo mitzvah v'lo shirei mitzvah. We're not going to leave them any remnant of a mitzvah, meaning God's going to give them all the good in this world so that he uses up all their mitzvot and even the shiurei mitzvot, the leftovers of the mitzvot, and he's going to wipe them out entirely, but it has nothing to do with their children. Davar acher, another explanation of shorosh v'anaf. Shorosh zo neshama v'anaf ze aguf. Okay, they're going to be entirely wiped out, both their neshamot and their gufim. Aval k'tanei b'nei rishei ovdei kochavim, divrei akol ein bayin l'olam haba. But there's a difference between the k'tanei rishei ovdei kochavim. Those who worship avodah zara, even their young ones, are not going to get to olam haba. Rabban Gamliel Nafkale, and as everyone agrees, so how do they each learn? Rabban Gamliel learns it from Mitovad Kol Zachar Lamo. Okay, all the Zacharim, meaning even the kids. Itmar. Okay, so now they're going to say Itmar. We have a machloket. Katam me'imatai ba'la olam haba. At what point, this is a very interesting machloket, at what point is a young person ra'oi to get olam haba? Do you have to do something to, and that's, I think really the question here is, do you inherently automatically go to olam haba unless you do something wrong to get you taken out of Olam Haba, or do you have to do something to get yourself into Olam Haba? And then the question is, what do you have to do? At what age can you already be ra'oi for this? So Rabbi Chiva, Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe, there's a machloka between the two of them. Chad amar misha'ashen olad, ready from birth. The Chanamar Mishasha Siper, once he starts to talk, interestingly talking, right, it's the way they always say men is distinguished from animals. Maybe there's a connection there. Mandamar Mishasha Nolad Shanemar Vayabovi Yagidu Tzikato La'am Nolad. God's going to give his righteousness to the Am Nolad, to the nation that was born. So it sounds like right from birth. Ki Asa. Umanda Amar Mishasha Siper Dachtiv Zera Yavdenu Yusupar LaHashem Lador. Okay, so the Zera that worships him, right, will be told to God, LaLashon L'Saper. So they say, it's Milashon L'Saper. Itmar, Ravina Amar, it's also said, Ravina Amar Mishasha Nizra. Not only when it's born, when it's conceived. Okay, he goes even back. Why? Dachtiv Zera Yavdenu. He darshes the Pasuk, Dafka the Zera part of that Pasuk. As soon as you're a Zera, you're already going to get to Olam Haba. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Amar Mishasha Nimol. Well, only once you have a Brit Milah, which obviously isn't relevant to the girls, so the question is what it would be about girls that don't relate to it. From the time of the Brit Milah, Dachtiv, Ani V'Gavah Minor Nasati Emecha Afuna. Right? How does this relate to the Brit Milah? one second. This pasuk is ani right. The important part of this pasuk is about the gvi'a. In other words, vayigva is the root used about tzaddikim when they die. Vayigva, right? Vayasef al amav, like Moshe and Aaron and others. So they're saying milashon egva. And when is that from? Minor nasati emecha afuna. So they say when God carries your ema, okay, and it's like and it goes and it rolls like a wheel. And that's the mitzvah of milah. They say that it's kavua in our, you know, in the basar, and I know, some of they relate that to the brit milah. Okay, and the last opinion, Tana Mishum Rabbi Meir, Misha'ash Yomar Amen. Shne'emar b'tchu sharim v'yavo goy tzadik shomer emunim. You have to be able to say amen. Not enough to speak, but you have to say amen. Okay, so now they say, right, my amen, what is amen? Amar Rabbi Chanina el melech ne'eman, right? It's the ability to say God is my God, right? And having yirat shamayim.